22nd chapter of Matthew in the first verse says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Thankful tonight that the Lord loves us. And the invitation that the Lord has given has went out through all the generations to all the people everywhere. Without exception, it comes all the way down to you and I today. And the invitation is still the same. It's to everyone. And I'm thankful tonight that that meant me. And that the Lord loves me enough to invite me to come. And he's inviting us all to come tonight. He wants everyone to be saved. He's after everyone. And it said that he makes this special, very special event possible. And then he says to everyone, come. But it said that they wouldn't come. So again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, he gets more persuasive. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the wedding. So there went out an invitation, and it wasn't accepted. But the Lord didn't stop with that. He put out more effort. He gave a larger invitation. He put more meat to the bones. He put more to it. He said to start with, I've got a marriage, just come. But they didn't come, so he gives a little bit more. And he starts giving the details of it. I've got the oxen slain, the fatlings are killed, the table is spread, And so this is more appealing to you. Come to this. This is going to be an outstanding event. This is going to be something that you ought to really, really, you ought to need it. You ought to want it. It's going to be glorious. It's going to fill your needs. Everything you need is going to be here at this. I'm putting out a lot of effort to do this, and I'm inviting everybody to it. You're invited. You're invited. You're invited. Everybody's invited. Come on to this. There's a lot here. It's ready. Think of it. The table. Are you hungry? Surely you're hungry. You'll get hungry. Well, we're going to have an event, and there's going to be everything to satisfy your hunger there. If you're thirsty, we're going to have pot. We're going to have drink. We're going to have everything that you need at this event. So come. I want you to come and be a partaker with me of this union that's going to take place with my son. Come and be a part of it. They said no to the first invitation. Then the second one comes. It says, but they made light of it. It didn't seem to be very important. They made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. I think we could enlarge that to whatever it is that your occupation is. Or whatever your hobby is or your desire of this world is. They plainly said, you know, we say things a lot. We say more things with our actions than we do with our words. We'll say things with our actions we'd never say with our words. We'll say things like, I'm not really interested in God, but we wouldn't say that with our mouths. We'd say, I'm not really interested in worshiping God, but we wouldn't say that with our mouths. We just say that with the actions that we have towards God. We wouldn't say those kind of things. But they made light of it in the sense that they gave it almost not, they gave it no attention at all. He comes and bids them and says how great it's going to be and offers them something that's so incredible. And they said, my farm work is more important. I'm wrapped up in it and I've got, it's more important to me than that. And I'm about to make a business deal and it's more important to me than than what you're giving me. I'm wrapped up into this. I ride motorcycles, and the weekends is motorcycles. It's what I do. Or I fish. I'm a fisherman, and it's for fishing. And listen, I didn't even say I appreciate that, but no thanks. I know there's a need for it. I know that my life's empty in a lot of ways, but this is what I'm doing. Does this sound familiar in any way to us tonight? I mean, we're in a very busy world. Would you come and be a partaker with me in something that I've made that's very special? Well, not really. I'm not really interested. It's not that I don't appreciate what you're offering. It's just that I'm not really very interested in this. Sounds very familiar to me of the day and time we're in. I got too much to do than to give too much attention to this. Lord, help us. God's got something special. He's got something special. But He's not going to make us do it. He's going to invite, and He's going to try to offer with His word through His servants, His ministering angels, His spirit, His ministry, meetings like this. He offers the goodness of God. He offers all of the meat. He offers the food of spirituality. He offers the peace, the joy. The good things of God are all spread on the table. The trust and confidences, the dignities of that you can have, and all those things He's offering. He's offering. The table is spread, and so He offers tonight all of these good things to us. But it said that they made light of it, went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And listen to this. They were indifferent, folks. But they was indifferent about it. But the remnant of them, it says, took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. Well, that sounds like another section of the world. I don't find myself in that section or even close to that section. But there is a section that so despises the king and his son. They so despise what he stands for. They so despise the table that's spread. They so despise the challenge that it brings to their souls that they will persecute it. They will run roughshod. They'll do whatever they can to try to destroy it. And the remnant, that's what they did. That sounds to me like the world we live in. A very busy, busy world of indifference towards God. Lord, help us. Yeah, that's true. And a real challenge or a militancy. Yeah. They're militant. They're fighting against this. Yeah. Well, this is the Lord's busy. And the king heard thereof. He was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. I don't pretend to know all of the spiritual analogies here, but I will say this about this, is that everything that you think will satisfy your life will come to nothing. That's right. And if you succeed in doing what you think you'll do, you'll find out that if you don't succeed, you may always wonder, but it won't come to nothing. But if you do seed, you're going to find out that it still comes to nothing. Because it won't satisfy what really you need satisfied. Only the Lord can really do it. And so the cities were destroyed. The farms are destroyed. All of those things are destroyed. None of those things happen or helps anybody anyway. When they strive and try to get their thing, they don't ever succeed. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that which were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So the Lord goes out. I was one of them that he found like that. You notice how the Lord kept inviting? He invited, they wouldn't come. So he invited again and they still didn't come. And so now when that was all said, they didn't come. He's still inviting. It's been a long time since these words were spoken. He's still inviting. He still wants you to come. If you're in a place and you haven't come, he's inviting. He's calling. Come and share with me. Share with me. I got something for you. Come and be a part of this really special thing that I've got planned. And so he's still calling for all of people everywhere. Would you come? So there's guests at the wedding now. It says, and the king came in to see the guest. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. Where's your wedding garment? You have a wedding garment? The Lord didn't say that you have to do great things to be a part of this. There was no test given to see whether you would qualify for this. You don't have to be smart enough to be invited. You don't have to be good looking enough. You don't have to have all of the special thing, any special thing to be in there. But he provides a wedding garment. And he asks you to wear that wedding garment. Come to the wedding. I'll furnish everything you need. And I'll even furnish the wedding garment. But you got to wear the wedding garment. You're going to have a wedding garment on. And so the king comes in wedding time. And now it's time for it. And he comes in. And there's somebody there that come into the wedding and didn't have the garment on. I don't know whether he turned it down when it was offered, or that he just didn't inquire in where his was at. I don't know, but he didn't have one on. And the king comes and looks and says, friend, I'm going to ask, friend, where's your wedding garment? You got to have the wedding garment on. The wedding garment is real. Actually, this is what the wedding garment is. There's a scripture in Romans, in the 13th chapter, that says, put ye on the Lord Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. And what's that referring to is, it's the idea of becoming something. Well, if you was going to be a football player, they'd say suit up, right? You put the pads on and that and the helmet. That makes you a football player. No, it don't make you a good one. It just makes you one. That's obviously what you're doing. But you're obviously going to play football because you got the uniform on. You put it on. That shows the intent that you have. Put on the Lord Jesus. It's going to show your intention. It's going to show what you're trying to do. You're going to put on the Lord Jesus. I mean, you're going to put the coat on, the cloak on. You're going to have the uniform on. Which means that you're going to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You're going to get the right mind. You're going to get the right heart. You're going to have the right desires. You're going to put on the Lord Jesus. And he looks at this man and says,
Where you come in here without a wedding garment? You can't come in here without Jesus on you. You can't come into here. Now listen, this is a wonderful place, a fellowship. Listen, I'm thrown totally in. If you don't know it by now, I'm totally in on this. I'm totally in. This is my people. This is my family. And you're my friends. Nothing like you, but more of you. But I'm totally into it. Totally into it. So I like coming seeing y'all. It's a thrill to me to see you. I always get encouraged by it. Glad for every one of you. But that's not putting on the Lord Jesus. This can be a great social place. Listen, there can be biscuits and gravy in the cafeteria in the morning. There might be special pizza across the road or hamburgers. There's food enough that we could all say, I was glad I went. The food was good. I ate good. But that's not putting on the Lord Jesus. That's not having the wedding garment on. And listen, don't think that in any way I'm being critical of anybody that comes. Glad you're here. Come all that you can. Stay as long as you can. Whatever your situation is, we can say with all of our heart, we're glad you're here. But that's not the wedding garment. It's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. What it's about is getting the garment on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. Put Him on. Have this life that He wants to give us to where we're acceptable unto Him. Get what He really come to give you. This is what this is about. So that you can be acceptable before God and man. So that at the end of this thing, there'll be peace. There's a wedding that has been spread. Thank God for it. I'm glad for it. Another scripture said something about being clothed in humility. That means to put the coat on. So that the image that you're projecting is one that's wholesome and right. The Lord wants us to betray His Son. This is the way the world gets what He is. We speak it without saying it, or we don't speak it. We speak something with our lives. This man came in because the food was good. Now get what I'm saying. There's people that would always want to be around the good people. I always want my neighbors to be good neighbors. It's just easier on everybody. The doors don't have to be locked. People's watching out for one another. Something happens in our little community. I was telling my wife one day, water was raising, flood was coming up where I live, a flood, and come down there, and the water was coming out of the bank, and one of the neighbors come down the road, lived up the road a ways. He comes down there, and he stops and hollers at me and said, "Hey, you need some help?" "No, I think I'm okay." "It's good. Thank you. Thank you." "Well, I didn't go very far. Here come another neighbor, pulls in. You need help putting something up or getting anything?" "No, I don't have anything." "Thank you." Had a number of people come and say, "Can I help you?" Who don't want to live in a place like that? Give me that anytime. Somebody watching out after you. But that's not the wedding garment. So the man wanted to come and eat. He wanted to be in this place. He wanted the good things. He just didn't want Jesus. That's just too close. That just changes my life too much. And again, don't think I'm critical at all. This is a wonderful place. But it sure is more than coming to just see one another. The whole purpose and idea of it is that we can all be clothed in Jesus. That we can come here and get something for our souls. That's what it's all about. And that's what we invite for you today. The Lord desperately wants you. The Lord wants you to do that. He wants you to have more than a desire. To be honest with you, no matter what you're here for tonight, this place is what it is
is because people lived holy. This is what it is because faithful people lived a certain quality life. It's what it is because faithful people prayed it this way. It's this way because there's been a desire, a hard, strong desire to serve and please the Lord. We might come here to visit one another, but the reason why it is worth visiting, the reason why it's worth coming here, is because the Lord has blessed it. It's because He's made a marriage here. That's why it's worth anything. And the best quality you'll get out of it is to come and join it. He so offers it with such love. He gives it so freely. The only thing He asks of His blessings, of the riches of His blessings, you got to have the wedding garment on. That's what He asks. You can have all of this hope, we are peace, satisfaction. You can have all of it. But you got to have the garment on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. He saith unto him, friend. That's an endearing term, isn't it? That he would say to this man, friend. Or in my thoughts, it's like, why have you so disrespected my friend? Could have been so much different. The gospel was offered to you with the same clarity it has been anybody else. The intent of the Almighty God is the same to you as it's been to anyone else. And the sincerity of God rings down through the generations. God is as sincere about our souls as what He was Peter's and Paul's. For surely He loves us just the same. And the invitation's the same. All the way it's the same. So He gives the same invitation all the way down. My friend. My friend. Why did you so belittle it? Why did you put it down so worthless? To come in to this way and assume that you can come in to this place and you'd be accepted without having the wedding garment on. You got to have the wedding garment on to be accepted in here. We can't accept anything else but the wedding garment. Folks, you're not good enough. And you can't have a mommy and daddy that was good enough. And you don't get in here by any other means. But except for clothing yourself with Jesus Christ. Becoming what He was in heart and mind and spirit. That's what the Lord wants us to clothe ourselves in. The very heart and mind that the Lord had. With the same love and forgiveness. We strive for it. We want to do it and obtain it. That's what we're trying to do. We want the same depth of it. Lord, help us. We're challenged by a world that's teaching indifference. The prosperity of our time is bringing us to an indifference in many ways. And in many ways, we think, I'll just breeze through. I'll go eat the food. I'll go do things. And I can just go on. And when this is over, I'll go right back to the way. But I'm saying while I'm here, I love Jesus. I got Jesus on. Lord, don't look at that favorably. I'm not being critical. I'm telling you what the Lord thinks. He looks at it critically. Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? Notice this man's response. Notice his response. What am I going to say to that? When the Lord says, how come you didn't put the wedding garment on? Well, what excuse do you have? There wasn't one. I wasn't able. That's too big for me. He provides it. He gives it. Calls for it. Does everything. The ministers preach it. The Holy Ghost deals. The songs are sung about it. The whole movement of Christ has been about it. And everything has come up to this point for your eternal destination. And now what are you going to say about your wedding garment. Why you didn't accept Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now my understanding of this is when there was a wedding feast. It was done at night. And it's not dark out there now, but if you could imagine it being pitch dark out beyond the tabernacle, and this would be extremely illuminated. At their weddings, they decorated, they had a lot of lights. It was a big deal, okay? And so they had all of this, and this was the setting. They had feasting table, they had food. They made a big deal. This was a big deal. And this is the setting of the wedding feast. And they're in there at this wedding feast, and he's told to bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. Out into the out. That's the literal what he's talking about. Take them and bind them hand and foot and take them and cast them away from the whole scene of it. Well, no doubt. That's a very vivid depiction of eternal hell. To take them and bind them, that they're bound up, and cast them into outer darkness where there is no glimmer of light that they once was, that they stood in the very presence of, and cast them into outer darkness. Well, that surely is an accurate example of this scripture. But I think there's another one. Maybe a dual one here, but I think there's another one that has to do with this present life. Because it's so enlightened. You have so much potential. The understanding is what light is. The ability to understand who God is, what God's purpose is, what Christ came to do, the enlightenment to our souls as we go one day after another, living for the Lord, getting closer to Him, become more enlightening to our souls, understanding, if not articulating, at least understanding in the depths of my soul, the being of God. I'll do it. I won't do it justice up here tonight trying to explain it. But I do know what it is to understand Christ and the reality of His existence because He lives. To understand that. But in this life, to not put the wedding garment on and so be in the light, so be around it with turning it down, year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, turning it down, the light that's there to illuminate, to bring you to another further, fuller place. Take them and cast them, spiritually speaking, into an outer darkness. Folks, the turning down of the gospel light will lead you to the darkest place you can ever be in this world. You can get to the place in this time world that you have no understanding of God or the ability to touch God, to understand God, to know it, and you'll be going away from it. To take them and bind them hand and foot means that you can't go back. You're bound to that place that's outer darkness. Take them that stood. He didn't do these to some of the other ones. To take those that had come into this place of feasting. It's spoken in the way of God, the king saying to do it, but it's the natural course of what happens spiritually to a people that turn back away from God after understanding. And before long, they go back to a place that becomes darker and darker and darker, till many times we say, why don't they come back? It looks like they ought to come back. And the Lord spoke to me one time when I was dealing with that very thing. And spoke to me and said, "They don't. That's because you feel it. And they can't feel it. It makes sense to you because you feel it. You feel like you ought to be saved. You feel like you want to go to heaven. You have all of that there. They are void of that. It has become hardened and callous, and they don't have that. And you look and they're dying. They once knew the God and they once knew the truth, and now they're dying so far away from God. And you say, surely, surely they'll want to know the Lord. But they're bound hand and foot. They haven't the capacity any longer. I'm here tonight to say the Lord's still inviting. But when you get to the place that you're bound hand and foot and cast into an outer darkness, when you've done it over and over and hardened, and you may even say in your intelligence, one day I want to be saved. But you don't know that you'll feel that way in time to come. Because there may be a binding hand and foot, and a casting into a darker and a darker realms, till none of this makes sense. There has been people that's walked the way we walk. They've sang these songs and they've stood up and testified with their hands up. They've got the microphones and they've told us of healings and blessings and deliverances from God and how God has blessed their soul, that doesn't even believe God at all anymore. How'd they do that? Bound hand and foot, it said. And cast into an outer darkness, to where the ability, it's not that God wouldn't. It's that they've rendered themselves unable to do it. Folks, we're not what you think we are. That we rule everything about ourselves, and that we're the highest thing there's going, and I'll do it my way. You'll do it God's way or you won't do it. That's just the truth of it is, God made a plan for the redemption of our souls. We'll come that way? Well, we don't come. The Lord has a plan and a way. And tonight, He's in calling for the invitation to come to this illuminated place and put ye on the Lord Jesus. And from that point, it gets brighter and brighter. That's the perfect day. It gets more illuminated. You understand more as you go. You don't become less faithful. You become more faithful. You're more entrenched in Jesus. You get stronger in the Lord, to the point that even death don't rattle you now. I got the Lord. I got the Lord. He's too real. He's too right. You ain't that way when you start. But the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter till you get to the point that you can say, Lord Jesus, that's what it's about. Lord shown himself strong to me. He's proved over and over and over to me that he's God. Well, folks, he's still God. And for whatever reason you intended to come here, tonight you're here. And the call goes out as strong as it ever did. Come and be saved. Come and be a part of the wedding. Don't let yourself get so hard. Don't go down that path to be so hard that you're bound hand and foot and cast into an outer darkness, to where you don't even believe in right things anymore, and you can do anything and you can say any kind of little lie and you can act any kind of way without regret or remorse. Or you can get that way. You don't understand anything about the nature or character or the acceptance of God at all. Nothing. Don't understand it at all. And at the same time, many people go on just as religious as they ever was, and not knowing that they were bound hand and foot and don't understand anything. So tonight, the offer is come. Come. There's the table's made ready and the party's about to start for you. the party's about to start. It's illuminated. It gets brighter and brighter, and it's the place to be. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.